Oh, hallelujah. Well, I have a message titled today, The God Who Is Our Hope. It's a very serious concern for many pastors, many people, just to pray for the peace of God to come over our country. And I have a message it's really not political, it's a spiritual message, but truth from the Word of God speaks into all kinds of situations everywhere. So let's go ahead and put up this verse here, Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. In the Message Bible, it says it this way: unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. And we have a situation in our country where one side of the verse fits one group and one side of the verse fits the other group. That's what's going on. So we need to pray. And so the dictionary, the word hope, the feeling of what is wanted can be had or the events can turn out for the best. There's another definition I have up. It says hope is a preferred picture of the future. A preferred picture of the future. That's probably a very easily functional verse for us all. I have hopes. Do you have hopes? You have hopes? I have some hopes. I have a hope that my grandkids will fall in love with Jesus at an early age and love Him like I do all their life and be a witness of who He is, and that His hand would be upon them. I have a hope. I have a hope that this city and this county come alive with the love and passion of Jesus Christ and all that He can do in and through people and for people, that their hearts become ablaze with His love. I have that kind of hope. I have a hope that our labor that we have labored in these last 5 years and we'll continue laboring, but that God will touch and release things that we've had a hope for and to do things in the lives of people through us in this place. Man, I just want to pray. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for... I feel sometimes, both Heather and I feel just very wrung out. And, you know, it's an interesting thing that when you get something in your mind of what a hope can be for you and then it's deferred, how your emotions can plummet. And how you can come under such a sense of being so distraught and utterly feeling disappointed. Whereas when you have a longing fulfilled, a dream in your heart that comes to pass, something of a longing, it comes to be, and there's such a life-giving work that happens in you and you feel propelled to go further. Does anybody relate to what I'm saying today? You know, I just always ask the Lord, what do you want to say to your people? I think that I know for when I was little, and you know, everybody has their own testimony, but there are moments in life where your hopes are shattered. They're deferred deeply. You come on the scene with expectations for certain things. You're hoping you'll be loved in a certain way, cared for, and relationships break up. All kinds of things go south. Maybe finances don't come through. If we come to the realization of, hey, you know what? My heart has been sick for years because certain things have not happened for me the way that I had the expectation. Then you can actually come to a point of being honest before the Lord and allowing Him to work in our hearts. Because it's not until you begin to acknowledge those places where hopes have been deferred where the heart sickness can actually begin to be healed. You can't really receive healing until you acknowledge your hurt. It doesn't work that way. You can't just scoot over it. I remember for years saying, there was nothing wrong with my childhood. And I would say these words, I survived it. If you have to survive it, there was something wrong with it. If you had to just bury it and keep burying it and keep moving on and keep burying it, something got deferred and it was a massive hope in your heart for something. And there's so many people that in so many different ways are crippled in their hearts in different ways, that there's such a need for a hope to be fulfilled. The only way to get better is to put your hope in Jesus Christ's ability to work in your life and to empower you. Jesus Christ is the ultimate hope. Everybody say, yay.
Yay.
Our God is a God of hope. Romans 15:13 says, listen to this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. See, that's what happens when you have hope. Will keep you going. Hope will keep. Isn't that right? What do you get up in the morning? I get up in the morning. Because I have hope, right? Hope of a good day. Hope of something coming to pass. Hope. We live on the basis of faith, hope. It's a hope, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But hope and faith work together so incredibly that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And you don't really have faith generating until you have a picture of what can be. And when you have a picture of what can be, then you begin to move and have faith and begin to work toward that and put faith into that and trust God with that, right? You have a hope for something and you begin to focus your faith and begin to walk that way. And then, how many of you have had moments when you're going there and going there and going there and suddenly a challenge comes up and you are tempted to throw all the hope away? Is that right? And God has this ability, Isaiah 61 verse 3, I'll just read it. It says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. A crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. I guess I want to say it this way. God really likes getting up in your business to make it better. If you have things that are hanging over you, the Lord wants to address them and get into your heart. The thing that the adversary is all about is disheartening you, to cause you to give up hope. That's what the devil is good at, and he always wants to paint a picture of some type of a gloom and doom situation where you're so disheartened, you give up. But Jesus, let me just say this right quick, guys. If you're ever feeling that way, just open the Bible and begin looking through the passages and reading. Because there's a spirit of hope in the Scriptures. Not only is He our God a God of hope, I jumped ahead. Let me go ahead and say this. The nation of Israel had sinned for years and finally went into captivity to other nations, but God always had a plan of hope. And Jeremiah 29:11 says it this way. Everybody, some of you know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you what? A future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. God's not planning evil. Every now and again you run into somebody whose life is so destroyed by so many bad things that have happened, and they are stuck in a despairing place because they think that God did it to them. And God is not the one who kills and steals and destroys. He's the one that gives life and gives it abundantly. And you never get better blaming God for bad things that happen to you. Well, if you love me, why did you do all this? And you're going to stay in that little place of deferred sadness. You have to lay hold of that and say, wait a minute, what am I giving myself to here? And break out of that. As long as you got God as the one that you're blaming for the stuff in your life, you'll never get better, ever. Why did Jesus come and die for you? So that you could be depressed? Why did He rise from the dead? So that you could go around moping and complaining? You guys are looking at me like, I don't know. Maybe. Well, there's only one thing that frees you. Truth sets free. I want to get to another. Listen to this. When we sin and we go into captivity, God still has hope for us. And the Bible is our book of hope. I want to notice something here. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And there's sometimes you're reading the Word of God and you come into a place of understanding somebody in there has lived the exact same thing you have lived, and you see how God worked in their life and you begin to get better on the basis of yours. And one of those people is Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, or Abraham is considered the father of our faith. And this is an extraordinary thing because he was told by God, I want you to go from this place over to this place. And he did it. And there's no background from any kind. There was no Bible. There was no. God just spoke to him and go. And he went. He obeyed. Somebody say, do it. And when God tells you to go do something, you go do it. And he didn't know where he was going. He just went. He started going. And when he got near the place, God said, here it is. He said, camp right here. And he stopped. And he obeyed. That was the first test. He obeyed the Lord and he showed up. The next thing was, he says, come here, I want to show you something. Comes out, get out of your tent, come outside, let's look up in the sky. He looks up in the sky and he sees all the stars. He says, go ahead and count them. Abram at that time, he's spending all this time trying to count the stars. It's impossible. He says, count the sand. They're out in the desert. Got a bag full. I think I got 4 trillion so far. He's counting up his sand. He says, so shall your offspring be. Wow. And this is the gall of God. The gall of God is that he tells this guy this massive promise. And if you will allow this to be a template for your life, because God speaks to all of us, our sons and daughters of Abraham. And we are all sons and daughters of Abraham because we're all in the household of faith. And the steps that Abraham took to show us the way of faith is what we're invited into. And here's what happens. I'm going to give you a son. And through your bloodline, I'm going to bless all of the nations of the world. Okay? Cool. It doesn't happen for years. Years and years and years. Years and it doesn't happen so long that he no longer can produce sperm. And she can no longer has eggs. You know, it's an amazing thing. Seed, time, and harvest. God sows a seed, and then time goes by. Lots of time. Time, time, time. It's a lot of faith. Easy faith when you sow the seed. It's a lot of easy faith. And it's easy faith when there's a harvest. But you know where the real faith comes in? When you're in the dark and the promise has not come to pass yet. That's the hard part. What do I do in the meantime? How many of you have had things in the meantime? And you keep at it, and you keep at it, and you keep at it. That's where all the works of darkness show up. That's where everybody's trying. But this is the main. Let me show you this. I got this in the New Living Translation. This particular way that it says it speaks to me. It says, Romans 4:18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous when we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. It goes on to the next, I didn't put it in my notes, but it goes on to the next. It talks about we have this access to God, and therefore we have access to God. And the first and foremost thing that you're ever going to know about hope is this: it's founded in Jesus Christ. You can lose hope really quick if it's not founded on Him. And it says, now we have this access, and that we stand in this grace. And then Paul tells us this little five levels, the five levels of producing hope. Are you ready? Rejoice in suffering. Doggone it, why did he start off with that one? Why do they do that? I hate that, don't you? Rejoice, count it all joy, you know. Rejoice in suffering. How many of you need help doing that? When things are not going your way, that's when the seed's underground. And what's that do? It produces something. It produces, everybody say, it produces perseverance. And what does perseverance produce? It produces character. You know what character is? The ability to face reality. People without character can't face reality. They buckle. They split. They run. Character is this ability to face reality as it comes at you. Isn't that amazing? And what does that produce? When somebody can face reality and have character, it produces hope. You end up being the carrier of hope because you rejoice when it ain't easy and you persevere when everybody else gives up. And something of character is shaped in you to take on the challenge of the day, the challenge of reality. And then hope happens. And hope does not disappoint. Because through hope, the Holy Spirit pours out His love into people. Through the person who's developed the hope because they got the character, because they persevered, because they rejoiced when it wasn't easy. This is the pattern, the biblical pattern of walking out the hope that God has for us. So I want to say, if you have a disappointment, if things aren't going your way right now, if your hope is deferred, first of all, Jesus is number one in it. I want to read three scriptures about that, and then I'll go to the next point. For the grace of God has appeared, Titus 2:11-14. He's appeared bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our, everybody say, blessed hope. And what is the blessed hope? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, the blessed hope is Jesus is coming. The blessed hope is there's a glory going to show up on the scene and He'll make it all right. He's going to change everything and put it together. And that's called the blessed hope. There's another hope, and it's called the living hope. And that's in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus through the dead. There's a blessed hope of His return, but there's a living hope. I'm going to say blessed hope. Living hope. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, he says, now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Wow. So if your hope has been deferred, come to Jesus. If your hope has been deferred and you've lost out and you're disappointed, come to Jesus. Read over the passages and watch something spark. Something go in your spirit and cause you to come alive and realize that when Jesus puts something in you, every time I get smashed, every time I get pushed down, every time I get, so I open the Word of God and He breathes life into me and I come back to attention again. Every single time, it's like there's an army rising up. It's like, ooh, because He puts hope back in you.
He's the God of hope, gives you hope and all joy and all peace. He causes you to rise up and have hope when things have been taken away, when things are challenged. And you know what? So many times it's not really so much has happened. Well, many times it is, but sometimes it's not so much happens. It's the fear of something happening. It's the fear of something going wrong causes your hope to go away. Are you there? That's why we need to have our spirit of our mind renewed all the time. Being in the Word, looking unto the Lord, and causing that hope to come. Hallelujah. I have this up there. Sometimes hopelessness. Now sometimes. Hopelessness is a signal for something to end. It's time to prune. Sometimes. You see, so you can have a false hope. And a false hope is when you keep expecting someone to change. And they never do. And you're hanging out for them to change. And they don't change. And there's something dynamic about, now that's one thing, or there's other situations where you have a false hope that leads you on. See, hope is that breath of God. Hope is that picture of the future that keeps you going. Yes. But if it's not based in reality, it needs to be pruned. Now I'm going to read the scripture, then I go to the next thought. The scripture is this. God says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Has anybody ever seen a pruned rose bush? They look so pathetic. You're like, nothing's ever going to happen here. And you have to cut off almost everything. It looks like a nub. It's phenomenal. Yeah, with a nub with thorns. Ugh. But when you prune and prune and prune, some of you, there are things that are not, there are false hopes that need to be pruned. You have to hear from the Lord and what those are. But here's the most amazing thing. The moment something is pruned, a renewed hope fills the heart with new energy. There's something that begins to happen inside when you get rid of a false hope, a dead hope, something that's not a real hope from God. There's a discernment that's needed to understand that. Are you there? How many of you there? It's probably even good to take some inventory. What are things in my life that are not bearing fruit for God? What is going on in my life that I need to let the Lord slice into? Is there an attitude that you just keep, or some kind of expectation that's just gone south, and just keeping it, and realize it's not going to change? It's time for that to go. Are you there? And the moment, it's funny how there's almost like, it's weird. It's a weird way to think about it, but it's almost like, hopelessness has a freaky kind of virtue. That the moment, because look, when most people don't really radically change until they realize everything is hopeless. When they come to the end, it's when they go, this is not working, then dramatic and deep change begins to happen. And there's deep inner pruning that happens and deep things that go on. And then suddenly there's a new energy that rises up. That's right. You start, I can do this.
Yes.
And that's God's kind of hope. Because God's into pruning. God's into saying, listen, this is not working, let's remove this. This is not moving, let's remove this. And there are seasons in the body of Christ where certain things don't work and certain things do. And God says, I want to prune. And it's different. It's sometimes if it's dead, this is kind of interesting. You can prune something that's dead, of course. You don't want that. But if it's sort of alive, sometimes it's just good to prune that too. When it comes to those people who know about how trees work and what to prune, they just get at it. Because what's going to happen in the next season? Everybody say, harvest. Fruitfulness. Let's praise the Lord for a minute.
Hallelujah, God.
Oh, hallelujah. Now watch the disciples. They believe that even though Jesus has over and over said, okay, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. They go, no. Never happened. It will never happen. Never, never. Jesus is crucified. Now they lost all hope. All hope is gone. All hope is gone. They run and are in fear. He says, I'm going to die. And I'm going to be dead and I'm going to be buried, but I'll rise again. Because nobody ever done it. Except they saw Lazarus. Lazarus, don't you get it? Lazarus could have explained it to him.
Yes.
And that other kid that jumped out of the coffin to take care of his mom, Jesus raised from the dead. I love saying jump out of the coffin. Hey! And Jesus says, I am your hope. Look, if Jesus can destroy death, you have eternal hope. You have blessed hope. You have living hope. You have good hope. If he can destroy death, what in your life can he not help you with?
That's right. That's right. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord.
Yes.
It might be a pruning time. It might be where you got to get rid of something so that life can come. There was a fella that showed up in the synagogue, and he had a shriveled hand that was withered. He probably kept it in his pocket. You know, he didn't have the hope of having a healthy hand. He had lost hope. It's been this way so long. There's certain of you that's been this way so long. And it's interesting how faith is the opposite of how we think. We think Jesus would restore the hand and then he would stretch it out. We got it backwards. Faith is stretch out the hand first, and then I'll restore it. And these Pharisees were so hard-hearted that they went out to plot how to kill Jesus after this, because the shriveled hand was a picture of their shriveled hearts. And they had no hope except for in their own thing. But everybody who comes to Jesus, when he says, I want you to stretch out what's shriveled in your life to me, and I'm going to be working a hope in you of recovery, a hope in you of restoration. I'm going to cause what was shriveled to be made whole, what was broken to come back together again, what was bound to be liberated. And it works. This is where Jesus says, I get involved. If you will be one of the children of Abraham, if you will start to walk in the way that the steps ordered by Abraham said, I will, against everything that I see, I'm going to have hope in you. Why would Paul say, not that I've already attained or been made perfect, but I press on to make it my own? Because Jesus Christ has made me his own. It's because Jesus puts a hope in the heart. Right? What kind of hope do you have from Jesus in your heart today to overcome? What kind of hope do you have? Everybody just listen up. This is the eternal word of God. Ready? Then I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It is granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's hope in Jesus Christ. This is the Lord our God. This is Jesus who came and died. He's risen. He's alive in heaven. He's coming again. And we want all of His power to come and pour upon us and to change our lives and to give us a living. Let's worship. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself would be with them as their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And when He said to me, "It is done," then He said this to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I'll give the spring of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Then He says, "But as for the cowardly and the faithless and the detestable, as for murderers and sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." You see, you always see, what is your hope? If your hope is in the person of Jesus, then you have everlasting life. If it's in anything else, you end up going where you don't want to go. It all has to do with Him and Him alone. I'm sorry for yelling so much. Let's go ahead and lift our eyes right now. Father God, I pray that You would impress in each soul the original design of their life, what You made them for, and what You had hope of when each of us were in the womb. You had hopes that each of Your people would become something under Your power, under Your sovereign grace. Just like Abraham, there was years that went by, but You never changed Your plan. And in some of our lives, there are years have gone by, but You've never changed Your plan. And I ask for a renewal of that hope. I ask for the breath of God to come upon that preferred picture of the future. I ask for a grace to abound, and there would come this empowerment to rise up and literally walk out of captivity, literally walk out of chains that have bound, literally walk out of a place into a place of healing, into a place of grace, into a place of empowerment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let's worship Him, guys. Praise You, Lord. Just lift up praise to the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Let's all stand together, would you? Let's all stand together just for a moment. We're finishing up here. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Take the hand of somebody next to you there. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give somebody what would be called traction, where you've been stuck and not moving forward. And the Lord says, "I've spoken to your heart today, and there's some business that I want you to do." From some of you, there's a pruning that needs to occur. For others of you, it's just really renewing your heart and mind with the reality of who Jesus is and making Him first in everything. You just look to the Lord right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would, even on every, Lord, people have been around here a long time, people just visiting today, there's no accidents here, there's a sovereign thing. You're speaking to people. You speak to people. And You cause them to have a hope come. You cause them to rise up. And so we just speak that blessing into every heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you're dismissed. Hallelujah.